And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. It is July 1st. Happy NHL Free Agency Day. And we'll see what, if anything, the Predators have up their sleeve today. Joe Rexroad, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing okay. You know, I got some friends coming to town this week for a baseball tournament from Michigan. And I was just thinking about, like, if they were driving around and heard that intro. Like basically, I'm the show idiot, right? I mean, like, if you hear that intro, like, it's like one guy's, like, you know, talking about edge rushers and right tackle, and the other guy's the idiot.
Well, they're probably thinking, well, I'm glad the first guy can read. Like, you know, that first guy has proven that he can read on the air. It's good stuff.
So basically, we're just ripping Chase here from the start.
Hi, Chase. Right tackle. Right guard. Left guard. Football. Sports. Food.
I mean, frankly, it's kind of just what we talk about here on the show. Football. Sports. Food. And preparation H.
Music and various topical creams.
If you're looking for your fill on topical creams, you've come to the right show.
And here, the ailments that necessitate them.
How is that gout doing today, Joe?
Oh, thanks for asking. Yeah, it's really close, but it just won't totally go away. So I'm still wearing flip-flops, and it's like, is it ever going to totally go away? And then you wonder, it's like, maybe before there was actually a little bit and you just, you know what I mean? Like you didn't notice.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it won't, like, if you touch it, it still hurts a little bit and I need it to go away.
Well, thanks. I hope you're getting close. This has been an extended battle.
I know. I mean, look, hold on. I mean, I'm telling you, like, I've got the anti-inflam right here. Okay. I've got
it's a nice touch, shaking it by the microphone.
Yeah,
good
thanks.
Stuff.
I got the aloe purinol right here. Oh yeah. See that? Yeah. Okay. So, like, I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Ian, how are you doing? Gout free, yeah. Ian Safar.
So far, gout free. But yes, I'm doing fine. Thank you. Looking forward to, let's see how free agency goes, I guess, today.
We will see. I was thinking about this last night. We're going to get into this in the 8 o'clock hour as it relates specifically to Barry Trotz and the fan base's view on him. But I was thinking about this, Joe. Think about a year ago today, what we were talking about, and as the show went on, like, the idea of the Predators landing Steven Stamkos, and then basically when our show ended, like the last segment or two, we started talking about, well, there's some rumors out there that Jonathan Marchessault could be a part of it. And then 11 o'clock rolls around, and by 11:15, Brady Shea, Jonathan Marchessault, and Steven Stamkos were all Nashville Predators. So that was obviously a huge day. And think about everything that's transpired since then and the mood and the options and the team and everything now. So a whole lot different and did not go the way that people thought after 1 year.
Yeah, exactly 1 year ago, and take the show the next day. It'd be interesting to hear some of that, you know.
It would.
It was like, holy cow. It was amazing. And to think that the conversation would be what it is now, a year later, if you told us then, here, like, just the basic facts. Here was their record. You know, here's some stats from some of these guys. You know, here's what's unfolded since then. Would have been pretty hard to believe.
Very difficult to believe. And now the question is, what's left today? What is Barry Trotz have up their sleeve today? You know, I put out my, basically, like, my lineup yesterday of the Predators of where they're at right now with their roster. And, you know, it's not a perfect thing. I don't feel great about it. I did it basically off the cuff. But here's what I got for you. Here's your forward group. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault, Stamkos, Svechkov, Evangelista, Bunting, Holla. I put Joakim Kemmel on there because,
yeah, I
not,
like that.
Not a lot of options.
Yeah.
Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, Zach LaRue. There's your forward group. It's not horrible. It's not great.
I don't hate the fourth line.
Yeah, me either. On defense, I had Willsby and Yossi, Shea and Barron and Nick Hague and Molendijk. And people are all over me about the Molendijk thing. I don't care. I don't really want to put anybody else out there. Like, you can have your Jordan Osterleys and Andreas Englunds, and, you know, Blankenberg was a nice story last year and all those things, but that's what I got right now. And then there's Sorensen out of it as well.
People were all over you, like, oh my God, there's no way Molendijk's going to be in the lineup?
Some of that was like, he's playing on the right side. And I was like, well, if you watch him, he's played on the right side for 4 years.
There's a lot of who's playing on the right side with this decor.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's – you get through it and you look at the roster, and specifically it's center. Like, I looked at center, and it's like O'Reilly, Svechkov, Hall, and McCarron. That's where they're at. It's not very good. And look, you know, no disrespect to those guys, but, like, all of them are probably slotted, with the exception of McCarron, who is on the fourth line, slotted, like, one notch higher than they should be. Like, O'Reilly should probably be a 2. Svechkov should probably be a 3. Hall should probably be a 4. And yet they're all one notch higher in this lineup, which is not where you want to be at that position.
Let's just do that and just bring McCarron up to the top line and call it a day.
Give it a Mac, shot. Get out there, buddy.
He's a big, rangy.
First-round pick.
Yeah, darn right, man. He's out there flying around, making jokes.
So is there anything that can be done to change that? Now, you know, some people are going to get into the Brady Martin part of this. I did watch him yesterday, and I'll have some thoughts on that a little bit later in the show. But is there anything right now that can be done? And frankly, what in the world is left out there? Like, everything happened yesterday. Marner got traded from the Leafs to the Golden Knights and then signed an 8-year extension. So he's in Vegas. Marchand, at the age of 37, signed a 6-year deal.
Incredible.
And is back in Florida. Speaking of back in Florida, Aaron Ekblad signed an 8-year deal for $6.1 million per year. Now, let me say this. I fully recognize that he took an incredible discount to stay in Florida.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. It's not like that was the going rate for him. So you have to point that out. But it is kind of amazing that within about 15 hours of each other, the Panthers got Aaron Ekblad on an 8-year deal for $6.1 million per year, and the Predators are paying $5.5 million for Nick Hague. That happened within 15 hours of each other.
Again, some of these things are at, like, you know, they're out of Barry Trotz's control. But if you're a Predators fan today, you have to face the fact that for the next 4 years, Aaron Ekblad is making $600,000 more in each of those 4 years than Nick Hague for your team.
Yeah,
it's astounding.
Yeah,
it's now. Yes, people thought Hague could, or Ekblad could have got like 8 or certainly like 7. Like,
he certainly took a discount.
So yeah, they gave, you know, they went term. I did not think that Florida would be able to keep all those guys, but here they are keeping all those guys.
Here they are keeping all those guys, and you look around the league, like there's just not a lot out there. Let me read you the Athletic. Has their updated board here heading into today. I want to read you the top 10 names on this board. Okay. Nikolaj Ehlers, which makes sense.
Yep.
Brock Besser's at 2. Vladislav Gavrikov, a left shot defenseman's at 3. Granlund is 4.
Oh my God.
Mikhail Granlund is the number 4 name on their list. Jake Allen is at 5, the goalie. Pius Suter is at 6, who is a fine, like, middle 6 player. Orlov at 7, who, you know, is a good defenseman. Brent Burns at the age of like 55 is 8.
Yeah.
Jonathan Drouin at 9. Jack Roslovic at 10. That's your top 10 list in free agency this year. There ain't a whole lot out there.
No, my goodness, that is slim pickings. Yeah, actually, Matthew Benjolton said Brent Burns.
Yeah. He's a right shot defenseman.
Right shot. He did, and as Matthew points out, 40, but also great beard.
He has a phenomenal beard. He is 40. But, I mean, he'd fit right in shot. The rest of the roster.
Yeah.
Just come on in.
You wouldn't feel that old here.
You really
you know?
Would.
Yeah, you're same generation.
So, we're going to get into what can be done today if you're the Barry Trotz and the Predators. But I'm curious for Predators fans, is there anybody you want to see sign? Like, who is out there that you'd be like, yep, I want that guy? Like, Gus Nyquist is 17th on this list. That kind of shows you where things are right now with free agency. Anthony Beauvillier is number 21 on the list. So, right. I mean,
bring them back.
Hey, there are a lot of former Predators on this list. Philip Tomasino did not get qualified yesterday by the Penguins, which I know for some of you is just crazy. Like, I was told he was really good.
Yeah, he was going to go there and light it up.
He's going to light it up. Craig Smith's on this list. Ryan Suter's on this list. There's a lot of former Predators that you could, could really get after here.
You know, where are those guys on the list, ranking wise?
Well, Ryan Suter is 93rd on the list, and I don't think it's for sure that he's going to play.
Hey, still in the top 100. Congrats, yes, Suter.
Yeah, way to go, Suter.
I mean, you are old.
Way to go, so. Suits. Craig Smith is 78th on the list.
All right.
And then, you know, like I said, Bevilier's 21st. I think Tomasino is 52nd. Tanner Jeannot, 49th. I know there are some Predators fans that would like to see him back in the
He's ball. Already a free agent, huh?
Yeah, I know.
That didn't last long.
Think about that trade and, like, how much they got. They're, like, they just picked on that trade on Friday. He's now a free agent.
And that's the thing. That trade, for all the stuff that's gone bad, and, boy, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That trade's pretty good.
It worked out well.
So, I mean, you know. I've heard differing stories on who gets credit for that trade. I mean, David Poyt was the GM.
He was.
I've heard, you know, right? Barry Trotz needs a shot in the arm. Do we just give him the credit for that?
Why not?
Let's just say Barry did that all by himself.
Vengen is a big proponent of Nick Perbix, the right-handed shot defenseman from Tampa Bay. He's texting me right now.
Okay.
Go get Perbix. Perbix could be happening today. We'll see. He played, I think, 2 years ago with Hedman. And then last year he was more of a third pair guy, but at this point
they like third pair guys.
Go get a right shot defenseman and bring him in. Why not? Point being,
if you have a bunch of third pair guys, some of them can't be third pair guys. So then you've immediately upgraded them.
That's true.
Think of it that way.
Point being, there's not a whole lot from a free agent perspective that's out there today that I think is going to excite you. This is not going to be like last July 1st, which Barry Trotz has said, but frankly, it's not even equipped to be like last July 1st. So what do? How do you fix this? How do you drastically improve between now and the time training camp opens if you're the Predators? We're going to get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone number off and running today here on the program. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on my phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ricky in the YouTube chat says that Robbie's cousin, Colton Sissons, is gone. Tell your cousin he's top 10 all time in my book. My cousin, Colton Sissons, apparently gone. I don't get it either, but I'll tell him.
I mean, we all like Colton Sissons. We'd all like to be related to Colton Sissons.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, we'll miss him.
Hey, now teammates with Mitch Marner. Colton Sissons, I mean, look, I'm sure that there's an initial, like, especially when you've been here for as long as he was, an initial shock of getting traded, but
yep.
Colton Sissons is waking up today in a pretty good situation out there in Vegas. pretty nice spot for him.
Yeah, although he may want to ask Ryan O'Reilly on his way out of town. Hey, so what's it like playing with Mitch Marner? Am I going to enjoy that?
Is this going to be something that I like? Is he going to actually help
Ryan O'Reilly?
When the playoff time comes around, is he just going to like retreat to the bench over there?
Ryan O'Reilly's like, I'd rather go to Saskatchewan than go back to Toronto and play. Thanks. Ricky says, I know Grammar Joe will wonder, top 10 Pred. Ricky, you're saying some weird stuff today that I don't understand. But
keep it coming.
K-Dodd ate a steak in my gout honor last night.
That's so good.
I appreciate that.
You know, the YouTube chat has changed today. There's all these little crowns next to everybody's name ranking what number fan they are. YouTube's trying to divide the people.
So what? But how do you earn the crown?
I guess you just have to comment a lot. I don't know.
Because, like, this number... Well, wait a minute. This number one
the number one crown keeps changing.
Okay, because this Dead Cell, I'm not familiar with Dead Cell.
A lot of things going on in the YouTube chat today.
Interesting. A lot of emojis, stuff like that. We'll make this free agency day newsworthy and notable one way or the other.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. So is there anybody out there that Predators fans really want to target today? Last year, it was, go get Stamkos. And, you know, Marchessault didn't really creep in until later in the conversation. But Chandler Stephenson, a lot of people were screaming to go get him last year if you're the Predators. And I'm looking at the roster. I just went through my roster in the last segment of kind of what my 20-person lineup would look like. It's not overly inspiring in terms of getting back and being not only a playoff team but a legitimate threat. I don't know that that path exists for them at the moment without them pulling off some unbelievable trade. And that's – pretty hard to predict as we sit here today. Free agency wise, like I'm looking at it, I still think they need a right shot defenseman. The problem with that is most of the right shot defensemen are off the market now, so the ones that are still on teams are going to probably pay and overpay. So do you want to get involved with that if you're the Predators? We know they need help down the middle at center. I don't think Mikael Granlund's coming back here. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think so. So beyond that, like, who's out there? Like, Pugh Suter has been largely a winger. I guess he could play center a little bit, but do you want to get involved with anybody like that to improve your center ice position right now? Like, to me, if they're going to improve center, I don't think it's coming today. Like, I think it's going to have to be a trade at some point. And I just don't know what's out there that exists to do that right now for the Predators. So there's a chance you could be walking away at the end of this day, Joe, and looking at the roster and being like, man, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah. Well, previously, probably for years, we talked about Zegras, right? That was one of those young guys, hadn't really, you know, it had some injuries, hadn't really. And, of course, he has now been moved. We talked yesterday about Rossi in Minnesota. I mean, that's a young guy, has been underwhelming. But I guess that would be one possible answer, is a flyer on someone who maybe isn't living up to the billing in a particular place. Like, because, I mean, teams aren't trading good young centers, productive young centers. No. It's not happening. Or the aging center who maybe is, you know, a three somewhere, where with you could be a clear top six, you know, forward. It's one of those two things, right? Either someone young who is kind of more and more deemed expendable, which then you ask why, or the older player who, you know, again, like signing O'Reilly at the time. I mean, I remember when that happened. I know later we're going to talk about a reaction from a year ago, but I remember 2 years ago that we were kind of like, huh, really?
I was like, 4-year deal for Ryan O'Reilly?
Yeah.
Man.
And then obviously the next year, it was like, wow. That line was actually ridiculous for a lot of the year. You don't know how these things are going to work out. Obviously, last year goes the other way because the lineup you just read, Robbie, I mean, again, a year ago on paper, a lot of that lineup sounds great.
Yeah.
It's just that we're basing it off last year. It doesn't sound very good. But still, down the middle, no one would argue that it's not deficient.
Well, and look, you know, a lot of people have a problem with Svechkov being the number two center. And trust me, I do too. But of their options right now, Joe, like, that's who I would want to see. Like, he gives you the best chance for some upside with their lineup right now. Like, I have no interest in Erik Haula playing with Steven Stamkos. I just don't. Erik Haula is 34, and we know what he is. And frankly, he was terrible last year. So that doesn't mean he's going to be terrible this year, but he's not trending the right way. And when he's been at his best, save for 1 year in Vegas where he just put up ridiculous numbers for him, but mostly in his career, he's been like a 30, 40-point guy. Like, Svechkov, I don't know what he's going to be. I don't know that Svechkov is ever going to be a legitimate top-line centerman. I don't know that he's going to be a top-six centerman by the time everything's said and done. But I do know he's got some speed. He kind of drives play through the middle, unlike a lot of people that they've got. And Stamkos has talked about that. Like, he's like, he can do some things that not a lot of people on our roster can do. So right now, based on where their roster is, I'll take my chances with Svechkov at second-line center and then just go, even though I don't feel good about it at all. I'd rather see him play there than anybody else they've got in the spot right now.
What about Brady Martin?
Well, we'll see. Brady Martin.
Right in there.
I'll put it to you this way. Brady Martin, with the roster currently constructed, is going to have a chance to make this team. I don't think that's lip service from Barry Trotz. That's not a guarantee that he's going to make it, but like sometimes I think general managers and coaches like say things just because they want their guys to have some hope
right
heading into camp.
Sure.
And see how they respond to it. But deep down they know that there's no way they're going to actually make the team. I don't think that was lip service from Barry Trotz. I think there's a legitimate shot that he's going to have to make it based on where their roster is right now. I don't think they're going to force it, but I think if he comes in there and plays really, really well in camp, that he's going to have a chance. And you could you could approach that way with a lot of guys. I think Kimmel, like, we need to start seeing something from Kimmel. You know, Trotz talks about Reed Schaefer all the time. I don't know a lot about Reed Schaefer. He was hurt for the majority of last year. I know that they were excited to get him in the trade. But I think a lot of those guys are going to have legitimate chances to make the team based on where the roster is right now.
So if Martin were to make it, I guess maybe like the spot you have reserved for Halla right now might be the most reasonable situation.
I guess probably. Like, that's the thing. Like, I don't think Brady Martin, if he makes it, is going to be playing with Steven Stamkos or anything like that. So where do you put it?
But then you get in the argument, the whole argument of, so then you don't have him up here yet until he's ready to be in the top six.
Yeah, and I can totally listen to that argument. I mean, the thing about him is, you know, he can play different styles of game. Now, can he do it at the NHL? He's 18 years old. So, is he ready to do that in the NHL? I have no idea.
Doesn't happen a lot.
Look, I watched him yesterday at development camp practice. I can confirm to you that he actually did shoot the puck. Mm-hmm. So I know that some people think that they've drafted some fourth line guy who just has no skill with the puck. He can shoot. He can move.
He wasn't just cross-checking everyone.
Yeah, it was like, wow, look, he's shooting out there. Can you see it? Wow, that one went bar down right underneath the bar. It's like he's got a little bit of talent out there. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and overreact to one day of development camp practice where a lot of it was drills that they were doing, all right? So I don't have any grand takeaway from what Brady Martin did yesterday, but I can just tell you, based on his profile and more based on their roster right now where they're at, if you're a center in this organization, you need to be approaching things like you got a shot to make this team. That would be my advice.
Yeah. If you're a center anywhere, look at the Nashville Predators and, you know, you might be their number two center.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Preds free agency front. We'll do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. NHL free agency begins today, and we're taking your thoughts, your suggestions on what you'd like to see the Predators do today. You know, another thing happens today too, Joe. The UC Saros contract officially begins today.
Oh. I was going to say, Bobby Bonilla Day?
Bobby Bonilla Day. And now around here, I guess, UC Saros Day. The contract is underway. So the 8-year deal begins now for UC Saros.
Well, that's a great thing to bring up too in the middle of all this. Speaking of Bobby Bonilla Day, now I saw the tweet, and who the heck had the tweet? It might have been Emma Lingan. The breakdown of all the people the Preds are paying to not play for them. It's pretty expansive.
It's been
because there is retained salary.
Yes.
With Colton Sissons.
There is. Which is something that was not totally clear on the show yesterday, but you know, they get the conditional third. So I think it turns into a second if Vegas makes the Western Conference final. So you do get a draft pick back, which I guess softens it a little bit, but you're still talking about retaining half of Sisson's salary, which is not a huge number, but it's still half the salary, and paying Nick Hague $5.5 million a year for the next 4 years. Now I put up my little lineup. I've got him on the third pair. Maybe look, they're right now I still have no clue who's playing with Roman Josi. Like, I put Willsby there from lack of options.
Yeah.
So I have no clue who's playing with Josi. And I think right now with the way they're constructed, Yossi's gonna have to play on the right. So how would you feel about Nick Hague playing with Roman Josi? I mean, that's gonna be one of their options. I don't know. Based on what they do today, I still think they're probably gonna be looking for a right handed defenseman today. You know, we've got questions on the text line about like, how can they help center, and what about right-handed defensemen? Can they find any of those guys? It's like, well, those are two huge questions.
Yeah.
We're going to find out
today. Are definitely the good questions, yeah. Cam. Yeah. Don't have a great answer for you. I mean, if you're Roman Josi and someone says, hey, you know, way to overcome these physical ailments, and how'd you like to pair with Nick Hague next year? And, I mean, like, if I'm Roman Josi and I have to play on the right side. Like, I'd like to do it for someone better than that.
Yeah,
like, is that asking too much at this point in my life?
It's a great question. I mean, again, maybe some people – I had some people text me yesterday. It was like, do you think that Nick Hague was just, like, buried behind a really good defense corps in Vegas and that he's going to come here and play, you know, significant minutes and be better? And I was like, I mean, do I think that? No. Is it possible? Yeah, I guess. Like, it's possible that he could come here and maybe he's like a – instead of being a third-pairing guy, he's like a upper echelon second-pairing guy. I have no idea. But based on what I've seen and some of the numbers on him, I would suggest that, no, that's probably not the case.
Yeah. Like, is it out of the realm of human possibility?
No.
I don't think you
can. Did they know Pietrangelo was going to retire?
I think so.
This move,
yeah, I think so. Like, I think
they've
known. I think Pietrangelo was not going to be around. Apparently, he's been dealing with a lot of health stuff for a while now, so it looks like his career is probably over. But I think the Hague stuff was about, number one, if you're Vegas, and Jared brought this up yesterday, and it's a good thing to bring up, and we're going to get more into this in our Barry Trotz conversation. But like, if you're Vegas, you look at it and you say, okay, well, we just swap third pair defensemen. They're paying Nick Hague all this money in a new contract, and we got Jeremy Lozon for $2 million. Like, you could make an argument that Lozon's better than Nick Hague, and they're paying him less money.
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
That from the Vegas standpoint, it makes some sense. And one thing Jared brought up was, like, how often lately have you walked away from a deal, specifically a trade, that Barry Trotz made and felt like you got the better of it? Like, that's, you know, think back to the Luke Shin, even like the Luke Shin deal. They traded into the Pittsburgh along with Novak, and then Pittsburgh turns around like a day or two later and flips him for a second-round pick. And it's like, okay, well, you couldn't do that? Eric Halla, and Vingan brought this up at the time, and it's a great point. They traded for Eric Halla, who's got over a $3 million cap hit, who was not good last year, and they freed up some salary for New Jersey and paid a draft pick to do it. Now, it's not like the fourth rounder they gave up is like overly valuable, but that's probably a situation where New Jersey should have given you something to take the Halla contract off your hands. Like, there's too many situations and trades lately where you look at it and you're left kind of scratching your head from the Predators' point of view of, why exactly did you do this?
Why are you retaining any Sisson salary?
Yeah.
Why is that necessary?
I don't know.
It's more than $10 million, by the way, and
I'm seeing
paying people
Duchesne
to not work for them, which is it's a Nashville pro sports thing.
Same, what, two buyouts they put in at Puckpedia for Duchesne and Turris, yep, and then two retained for Sissons and Ekholm. I don't know what that means for Johansson, technically.
His contract's up.
Yeah, he's out.
Okay,
now.
So 2-2. So it's 9% of the cap for the buyouts and cap charges, and two retained is 1.8% of the cap. So you're talking about just over 10%.
Right. You know, the Ekholm and Sissons retained salary, it's not like it's a ton of money either way.
It's no Duchesne with his 6.6.
Right.
6.
And again, the Duchesne one, this is the last year of being really painful. And then I think it goes down to like $1.5 million.
Yeah.
So, it lightens up considerably moving forward here. But again, like, even beyond all that stuff, it's Barry Trotz has got to start winning some of these deals here. It's too early to see. Again, maybe Nick Hague comes in here and he's exactly what they need. I have no idea. I just know that there have been a lot of deals that he's made over the last year where you look at it and you say, why did you do that? Like the Carrier deal. You look at it and you're like, okay, you just waived Dante Fabro. You like Justin Barron. I get it. But that was the trade you made. And now you're looking at it and you're like, man, Alex Carrier could probably play with Roman Josi. It'd be nice to have him. Or Fabro.
Well, and again, like two right shot guys, and we're sitting here like they have no right shot defenseman.
Yeah. And maybe they find one today. I look at it, and their roster, and maybe you're right. Like, I think we are tarnished a lot by what the most recent body of work we've seen is, which is, I mean, it's the only way I can go on.
There's no way
right now.
I mean, unless some of those names – a year from now, like, oh, yeah, right? Like, some of that is just what it has to be.
Yeah. And there's we've talked about the hope that either Andrew Brunette can find some answers or these guys playing together figure something out that they just were not able to figure out last year. And maybe there's some natural improvement there. But as I said yesterday, they were a 68-point team last year. You got to get to about 96 to be kind of in the playoff mix. That's almost a 30-point swing that you're looking at if you want to get back in the playoffs next year. That's really hard to do.
Just get to 85. That'll be fine. Dead Cell says last good move was Nyquist for a second.
Yeah. That's that. Yeah, I would agree. And that's kind of in the middle of some of these other moves that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So that was I would agree. That was a good move.
But don't forget Janoh.
Yeah.
We'll always have Tanner's Janoh.
That's right. Hey, who knows? You could bring him back in the fold and by the end of the day.
Go get him back.
Go get him back. I got one text that says, you retained Sissons because Vegas needed it. It's 1 year. They gave you a third possible second for it. That's an easy decision. I mean, I don't have a huge problem with the retaining Sissons, but the point is, like, you traded for Nick Hague and you gave up Lozon and Sissons. You can make the argument that Lozon by himself is better than Nick Hague.
Right.
So there's really no reason to retain the salary is what I'm saying.
So, Texter, like, when you isolate it like that, fine. But, again, look at the entire deal, which included retaining Sisson's salary.
Right. It just...
Not a fan. I'm sorry. You can be if you want.
Yeah, like I don't think that is a good deal for the Predators. I just don't. And maybe I'll end up being wrong as Nick Hague steps in here. I get the idea of it. I really do. I get the idea of Hague. He's enormous. He's 6'6". And Trotz has been talking for years about how they need to get bigger back there. But, like, they need to get bigger... They also need to get better, and I just don't know how much better Nick Hague is than what they've had. So I guess we'll find out.
Ty says, sounds like the only explanation is that they're building the locker room.
Well, we'll see.
A lot of good personality.
I think they are literally building a locker room at Bridgestone Arena.
So there's it works on multiple fronts.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. A trade went down in the NFL yesterday that left me scratching my head a little bit. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. I got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to the Sounds taking on the Memphis Redbirds at First Horizon Park. This Thursday, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on Memphis coming up at First Horizon Park this Thursday, 615-737-1025. Joe, an interesting trade made in the NFL yesterday. Jalen Ramsey going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, it was first reported that Ramsey was coming to the Steelers and that Jonnu Smith was coming, but nobody ever said what was going back the other way. And then, like, 30 minutes later, Schefter and all the other insiders were like, oh, by the way, it's Minkah Fitzpatrick going the other day. It's like, oh, my God. Okay.
Player to be named later.
The best player in the deal is going back the other way. So I saw that, and I said, okay, I understand that cornerback is certainly more of a premium position than safety is, so you have to keep that in mind. Minkah Fitzpatrick, pretty darn good player. He's headed back the other way to the Miami Dolphins in exchange for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith. So clearly, Pittsburgh making some moves here to, I guess, go all in, even though some more reporting came out yesterday that they're still not getting anywhere with T.J. Watt and that teams are wondering about whether or not he's going to get traded at some point. So
that'd be a
you got
for
that
it.
In the background. Move. We're going to go for it and then trade our best player. So we'll see what that ends up looking like. But what did you make of the Jalen Ramsey deal, taking him from Miami to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Jonnu Smith coming to the Steelers, who's now going to be playing with Aaron Rodgers, and Minkah Fitzpatrick headed back the other way to the Dolphins.
I don't hate the Steelers. Clearly the Steelers are like, all right, let's try to like load up for a year, and Aaron Rodgers, this might be it, he has said. I mean, he says a lot of stuff, so, you know, he says a lot of stuff like, I can't wait to be out of the public eye, which is just hilarious. But it feels like this 1 year. But if you're going to do that, why are you moving Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like Jalen Ramsey is not that guy anymore, and he's still very good. But you take Fitzpatrick out of that defense, add Ramsey, have you improved yourself? They obviously think so.
I get it. The corner part of this, I get. It's more valuable to have a good corner than a really good safety. But like, also at this stage of his career, what is Jalen Ramsey? Like, is Jalen Ramsey still going to be the same guy? Like, he's not that old. Like, if you go back and look at it, it feels like Jalen Ramsey has been around forever. He's 30. He'll be 31 in October. So it's not like you're dealing with some 36-year-old out there. But is Jalen Ramsey going to be the same player that he's been in the league for a long time for right. you right now?
And I understand the premium position thing. I think the Steelers and the Ravens are great examples of how important safeties can be. I would argue that a great safety in this league still means a lot. It does a lot in all aspects of a defense. So, I'm interested. I guess I'll tip the cap to the Steelers for at least changing up a little bit. We see Jonnu Smith with Arthur Smith, as always ends up being the case. This is their third stop together. Jonnu Smith had a really good year last year, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
He had, what, 800 plus and 6 to 8 touchdowns? I mean,
he was sneaky good in fantasy for a stretch there.
He caught 88 passes last year. I mean, that's pretty good. 88 passes, 884 yards, 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
A lot of 8s in there for Jonnu Smith.
Crazy 8s.
Yeah.
But that's – look, he's still a talented player. So I like that ad. I like that for Aaron Rodgers. You know, if he can keep that momentum. Obviously, whatever happened in New England, a lot of players didn't play well during that stretch in New England. But I just don't like the Fitzpatrick. Then I'm also looking at, I mean, I don't even want to think about like what the Dolphins are doing or I have no idea. You know. But it's going the wrong way for them. But, I mean, Minka Fitzpatrick, is there something wrong with him at this point?
I don't know. I guess I'm really wondering, like, how good does Pittsburgh actually believe they are? Because, like, all the moves they're making suggest that they think that they're ready to make this run here. Like, it kind of feels like they're trying to go all in with Aaron Rodgers in 1 year.
Well, and that's it's all hinging on they think that he's going to – come out and be incredible.
A great player.
You know, we were talking during the break about your guy Jordan Love. I think it was Warren Sharp who had these stats, but it was, again, you take a grain of salt, but incompletions that were because of receiver error, which of course could be drop or route mistake. Number one, your Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
Which is, I think that's a nice, you know, commentary on Jordan Love. Number two, New York Jets. So, you know.
So it wasn't Rodgers. It's just nobody could catch the ball. Nobody could run the right route.
I mean, as we've talked about, he actually played better, had better numbers than you would have guessed because they never won. They were just a disaster of a team, and the drama around the team and around him was more the story. It wasn't necessarily the picture of a guy who has lost his skills. So, yeah, I think the Steelers are looking at this like, you just hope that he has an incredible year and that he can have like a Brady-like year in Tampa Bay. And so why not do as much as possible to help him? The Steelers' defense has been eroding a little bit anyway and aging. And I just, again, I don't know all their answers after Fitzpatrick. They must feel like they've got, you know, some young guys to plug in, things like that. It just, to me, he's been such a central part of that defense, and now you're taking him out of there.
I mean, the tight end duo that Pittsburgh now has is pretty interesting with Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith. I mean, you know, Jonnu caught 88 balls last year. Freiermuth caught 65 last year. So you're talking about 15 touchdowns between the two of them a year ago. So that two tight end attack that Arthur Smith is setting up here could be pretty lethal.
Yeah.
And then there's Darnell Washington. They got him in the fold too. That enormous tight end from Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Who's glorified OT playing tight end.
Like their tight end room is pretty interesting.
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
So that's good for Aaron, right?
That's good.
What's the best tight end situation he's had?
I just love Arthur Smith. He's like, yeah, hey, you guys got to go get me Jonnu Smith. Bring in Johnny Smith. I need him.
The Smiths reunited. Yeah, and this texter here says it makes the trade of George Pickens even more questionable. But the reporting around that is that Aaron Rodgers was not going to sign with them if George Pickens was on the team.
Yeah.
That I've read. So, and frankly, if you think about the way Rodgers is with receivers, that makes sense. Because I don't think the way he is with receivers would have worked with the way Pickens reportedly is.
No, I don't think that would have gone over very well. And, you know, Pickens has apparently been just a pain to deal with there. Which the Steelers have experience with at wide receiver.
That's right. Yeah, no doubt. I need Junie's analysis, but I've got a Steeler fan in Nashville here saying that Minka's been a ghost the last few years, plays 35 yards of the ball, had next to no impact. Bring in premium corner to pair next, and then elite receivers all over the field, pair next to Joey Porter's massive, not to mention rated Jonnu Smith. Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm not going to sit here. I guess I miss like Minka Fitzpatrick becoming just a complete non-factor, but okay. That makes more sense. And then for the Dolphins, I have no idea that's true. If he's diminishing that much.
Well, I mean, look, by the numbers in terms of generating the turnovers, right? So in 2022, which was the last time Fitzpatrick was an all-pro, he had 6 picks. He's got 1 in the last 2 years. So he only played 10 games in 2023. Last year he had 1 pick. He's pro bowler, which, you know, I don't know what being a pro bowler means in the NFL
and sometimes
anymore.
That's just reputation-based, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there's no doubt, like, the production from the turnover standpoint has gone down drastically the last couple of years. He's 28. I think he'll be 29 this year, so we'll see what that looks like for Miami. You know, again, to your point, I don't really know what Miami's doing. You know, you got the whole thing with Tua and whether or not he can stay healthy. And, you know, if they don't make some noise this year, what's that going to mean for Mike McDaniel? Pittsburgh is going to be interesting. I'm very fascinated to see how good they are this year. And then I guess the other big question for Pittsburgh now is, can you figure something out with T.J. Watt to get him in there to where you don't have to apparently trade him?
Yeah, you think that might be important. Real quick, my guy Mike DeFabo at The Athletic writes, quote on Fitzpatrick, quote, his nose for the football has virtually disappeared. He's made the Pro Bowls, done so based on reputation more than performance. Remains a reliable tackler and deterrent in the middle of the field, but one has to wonder if his play is beginning to decline rather than find out they pivoted with a big deal. All right. I guess – to me, he's still – but, again, sometimes that is. Is that because you watched a lot of Steelers football last year and he was that good?
Yeah.
No. Will I watch more this year?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Rex Road with a philosophical question related to the Predators as NHL free agency opens today. And a former player's comments – did not help the Predators in this situation yesterday. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.